Well, it's been a crazy trip across Arizona, and I am in Casa Grande, Arizona. You know what? For this podcast, podcast 1018, I'll have a Casa Grande.
Yum.
Let's take a sip.
Let's have a clink. Not this guy again.
All right. So, yeah, Don Anger is with us in this podcast for the fourth time.
Wow, this time it's pretty
and
local.
And I promised you that we would be coming to your house. In how do they refer to the town here in Casa Grande?
Casa Grande. The locals call it Casa Grande. I'm going to elaborate. I mean, over in Casa Grande. I can't do it, man. My wife does.
We're going to talk about it in this podcast. Podcast 1018. Hard to believe. I'll have a Casa Grande.
Oh, yum. There's a rum in that thing.
Well, I have had a sponsor of sponsors on a lot of these recent travels, and that's privacypost.io. And if you know anything, you probably still use your iPhone for everything, right? You don't even think about it, but you know, these are privacy sieves, iPhones and everything else. One of the cool things about being on the road with the connectivity device that privacypost.io gives me is I'm behind a VPN, which means I'm completely secure, even more secure than being in the wind here at Casa Grande.
Yeah, I'll have one.
I'll have one.
Hi-yo.
So what does Privacy Post do? They are a virtual mail service, South Dakota residency, because, of course, South Dakota has no state tax. So if you're an RVer, if you're on the road, if you're a digital warrior, you don't want to pay state tax back home, right? So South Dakota is the place to go. Legal business addresses, privacy trustee management, mobile data VPN hardware, which is what the Pep Wave is that I talk about a lot. If you want to learn more, go to privacypost.io or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Don and I are kind of transplants from Minneapolis, St. Paul, right?
Yes.
Yes. And I tell you what, I love to talk about 36 Lynn, the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36th and Lindale Avenue in South Minneapolis, where I lived for a long, long time. They're into the community. I talk about that. They have a great store. There's food trucks there all the time.
Yum.
But here's the thing. Right now, independently owned and operated fueling stations are great because they get a better deal on fuel and they pass the savings on to customers. And that is why 36 Lynn is always busy, aside from the fact that they have an awesome burrito and great coffee in that store. Check them out online at 36Lynn, that's 36lyn.com, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. First of all, I've been up in the mountains, so it's been cool during the day and really nice at night because the low humidity, a lot of sunshine in the mountains. It's fabulous, but there's nothing like the desert. People are like, you know, isn't it hot? And I'm like, I do not feel the heat at all. And and I said, Don works in the oil fields in Texas and lives here.
Sure.
And so what are you, like 30 days on and 2 days at home and then back out there?
God, the new schedule, just to try to make extra money, is 35 on, 4 off.
Ooh.
It's hardcore, but I got to make money.
Wow.
Times are weird.
Well, yeah, and you need to make yourself essential, too, given the uncertainty of the situation right now.
They love me. I'll see to that.
Well, and so I had said more than once, first I was going to come to the man camp. How's that coffee? A little strong?
Yum. No, just perfect. It's perfect. No, not strong. No, it's really good. Just how I make it.
And we decided that it would not be good for Don if I showed up at the man camp with Mobile Podcast Command because it's all business and there's a lot of safety issues. They don't want people wandering around.
Right.
The
you
work area.
Wanted to come out to location.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
God bless you. I mean, that's the way to fly. If you're going to do it, go big. But there's just no way. There's not.
And there was an issue at one point and you were like, I don't think this is a good time.
It was a bad time. I can't remember what it was, but things were in the air and I'm like, no, not going to happen. Don't even ask.
So then I said, well, one of these days I'm going to swing by Casa Grande, why don't you tell me a little bit about Casa Grande first?
I love to name drop. We know that. David Spade used to live in town. He went to high school in Scottsdale with my program director, Todd Fisher.
Didn't he work on the radio for a while?
I don't know. Todd would know that. Okay. He was always theater guy. He was always, look at me, you know, David Spade. There's like Jonas Brothers that lived here in town. I love that angle.
Really?
There's a Jonas Brother or two. Seriously, Casa Grande. There's been a couple of movies. Todd Fisher again.
Was in the movie?
No, yeah, really. Tipped me off. It was about a guy that broke out of the prison in, like, Florence.
Oh, I know about that. 1978. Oh, that guy.
Dude,
we went crazy down the rabbit hole
great
on that
movie.
One.
Oh.
Yeah, he was really something. I don't.
The names are.
We'd have to look it up, and we're not going to. But
nah.
Todd's from Phoenix, though. He's not from Casa Grande.
No, he's not. But close enough. Phoenix is like right there. Over there. It's an hour that way.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that I don't? I try to stay away from metropolitan areas.
Yeah, that's right. Cool.
And this place reminds me of one of the towns I grew up in, where there was the development, and then there was agriculture all around it, and then there was the shopping center, which at the time was called Rudy's.
Wow.
This is in Chicago.
Sure.
And this reminds me of that. It's weird.
Cool. No, I love how that works. You hear a song, it brings you to a place. You go to a city, it reminds you of something. Here we go. When I was at Buddy Holly's crash site, I smelled like stuff in the air, like chocolate. I'm not proud. It smelled like chocolate to me.
What is that?
No idea.
Oh, they must be farming like cocoa or something.
Maybe.
Or
that brings me
doing some weird. There's a chocolate factory around.
Very psychic smells and
why is it psychic with Buddy Holly?
I like to make it look a little. I can't believe we're talking about Buddy again. But
well, that's the last podcast we did.
Yeah, it really is. But it's just the smells and the sights and the cities and Memphis. When I went to Memphis in '98, really interesting smell. Like cotton meats.
And you just went cotton meats what?
I don't know yet.
What does cotton smell like?
There was a very distinctive, putting me on the spot, distinctive smell in Memphis, and it was enjoyable.
Barbecue.
They're very good point. All that mixture, man, in the air.
And, it's a melange. It's a multicultural melange of Memphis.
It's a Casa Grande.
I'll have a Casa Grande.
Yes, it's in the air.
Have you had the Casa Grande? I'm telling
it's
you, it's
fabulous.
Amazing.
Get it with the chives and the onions. It sounds like an omelet or something. Not the Casa Grande or a drink with rum.
I'd like it with caramel, please.
Oh!
And there's another place that you just went recently that we have both been to that is one of the most chilling places. And you went ahead and did the one thing that a lot of people don't do. And that was Dallas.
Oh, man. I don't know if I would have remembered to bring that up. Dealey Plaza, JFK. I flew to Minnesota really quick. The rock band Hairball. There was a fundraiser for their guitar player. Cancer fundraiser. Mm. God bless him. I thought, okay, cool. I got to tie all this in. Dealey Plaza's right there. The airport is 16 miles away. Where I'm parking my car is...
Right, you came from the fields to Dallas. And
clocked
you
out at 7
right
a.m. Drove into old school Dallas. 4.5-hour drive. Fun. Second time I've ever done it. There I am, right there in Dealey Plaza. There's the school book depository. There's the triple underpass. I just got my first chill. That's arguably the most impactful, rumor-milled place on the globe. Am I wrong? It's up
no,
there.
It's weird. Oh. It's just, and part of it is because there's so much. I mean, people are going to take this the wrong way. I don't care, but I do.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's chilling down at the World Trade Center and the monument and everything. But the thing about Dealey Plaza is they've left it completely alone, and it is exactly like it looked in 1963. And there's something chilling about, maybe it's the conspiracies, maybe it's this life that was truncated suddenly and violently, maybe it is the governor's wife screaming they're going to kill us all in the car,
right.
And then the wild 110-mile-an-hour ride to Parkland. You went to Parkland Hospital, which is the next exit down, and it looks to me like that overhang and everything is all still there.
It's all there, and it went really fast. I tried to absorb it. I drove right where the limousine, right down the middle of the road. There's X's in the road where
God.
No, I'm serious.
Really?
There's X's in the road. I have pictures.
Oh, on the, yeah, in downtown
on
Dallas.
On the road.
You mean the freeway?
That Kennedy... When he gets hit, there's an X.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Okay, cool. You've been there. It's been a while. I called you that night. I was sharing that moment with you, and you're like, Parkland Hospital, this is unbelievable. And I said, I got to make the trip. I just went right to Parkland. The thing that I learned was that was the end of the motorcade. It was over. I never knew that.
What do you mean it was over?
That was the
he
last,
was at the very end of the motorcade.
Yeah. they're taking shots at him, and it was over. Once they go under that tunnel, they're on their way to their speaking luncheon engagement. They got him right at the end.
I thought Lyndon Johnson was behind him in a closed car.
He was, but I mean, that road was the end.
I see what you mean.
Of the motorcade.
Unfortunately, the route that they published in the newspaper that Oswald read that said, and he went, "Oh, I work there."
Right. How convenient. And I looked out that window. It's close.
It's very close. It's one of those feelings like you get when you go to Civil War battlefields. And I would read about Civil War battles like, First Manassas. And I used to think, they must have been these big armies moving around. So you go to First Manassas. There's a place called the Henry House where they all converged on this Henry House. And then there's a bridge. It was a stone bridge. And then there was a stone house, which later became a hospital. So we're at Don's house. There's a pool. There's a little bit of a yard. And then there's a wall, maybe. How far is that wall away from you?
20 yards. I'm going football field stuff.
Okay. So maybe 20 yards. Probably not even that much. I'd say 15. It's 10 yards at the most.
Okay.
That's 15 yards away.
Yeah, 15.
That's how close they were to each
small.
Other. So the different lines were literally converging at this place called the Henry House. There were trees all around the Henry House. The gunfire cut all the trees down because these were 50 caliber balls coming out of these rifles at 10 yards. It would decimate people. Take your arm right off.
Which state are you talking?
This is in Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C., probably 25, 30 miles, Manassas.
Do you think Oswald acted alone?
Oh, I don't know. You know, if you've ever read Vincent Bielosi's book, it's 1,000 pages long, 1,100 pages long. And his whole theory is that there's an arrow of evidence that points to, Occam's razor. The simplest explanation is usually the best explanation. You have to read the whole book, and a lot of people, it's very controversial because he takes apart all these conspiracy theories because he looked at virtually all of the evidence, takes them apart, and he says there's only one reasonable explanation, and that is that a crazy person, and he was insane, got a rifle that he was proficient at using. He dry-fired that weapon hundreds and hundreds of times, tried to kill that general
two nights before, and
shot him in the arm. So we know that. And then he just happened to pick up the newspaper and see that the president was going to come by there on Friday afternoon, and he was working at the Texas School Book Depository, wrapped the gun up, and went back to his mom's or his wife's place where the gun was wrapped up in a blanket, called this dude to give him a ride to work that morning, and nobody ever asked him, "Hey, what's in that blanket?"
Yeah.
Took it up there.
Creepy.
Lunchtime. Piled the boxes up. Boom.
Why would he do it?
Boom. Because he was nuts.
Okay. I love the discussion. Because have you ever heard of Umbrella Man? We're turning this into a JFK thing.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
I never knew Umbrella Man. There's a bunch of stuff going on that location. Which is
Umbrella Man? Here's the thing that Bielosi says, and again, people are going to go, "You don't know what you're talking about, man."
Right.
Obviously, it was the deep state, the mafia, and everyone. You know, if Kennedy had lived, I think he probably would have not had, in retrospect, such a great presidency, because there was a lot of bad stuff going on, a lot of bad stuff. And if you want to know, read The Dark Side of Camelot. That is a book that you need to read.
I watch a lot of Tubi now. Tubi is a streaming. It's free streaming. It's so good. I love documentaries. One of the guys said that bullet, because stuff was just about to go like uncovered on the dirt that Kennedy was doing and the stuff he was pulling. Respectfully, they said that bullet saved his legacy because it was about to hit the fan.
I think so. I think he would have won re-election, though.
Sure,
but I do think that
I
think in an odd sort of throwback to Trump, there's a lot. Everyone who loves Trump doesn't see all the dark stuff.
Yeah.
Same thing with Kennedy.
Sure.
He was revered by certain people, and maybe for good reason. But there was some pretty bad stuff going on.
I read a quote that said, "Mr. Kennedy made Mr. Clinton look like a choir boy." It was the exact quote. The exact quote.
Except he didn't. He didn't mess around with a 23-year-old. Well, yes, he did, but we didn't ever know about it. The presidential pool. There's a reason the pool was covered up, and they put the press room in there.
There was some addiction going on.
Well, no, there was. Uh, there were There were underage girls in
that
there.
That too, addicted to everything. Anyway, next. How about this weather? Gosh, wow, look at that. The JFK, the greatest trip I've ever had.
Can I get another Casa Grande with caramel, please?
Right over here, thank you.
You know, the thing about these days is you got to get up and move. And a lot of people need help doing that. And for that, I'm going to introduce you to BU, because BU gives you a powerful toolbox to help you be your best self right where you are all day long. And they use Zoom and some other tools so that you can be grounded, be centered, be calm, be stronger, be free. BU.
Cool.
Visit BUEnterprises.com for more information, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Do you hate your printer? I know I do.
Yeah.
I do hate my printer, and we all do, because it's the worst piece of office equipment there is, and it's you would think by now we've got civilians going into space, we would be able to figure out how to deal with printers, but print cartridges are so expensive. If you want to save 30% compared to the big box stores, Cartridge World is the place, and Cartridge World is serving the universe from Maple Grove, Minnesota. Here's the deal. You can get free delivery and qualifying orders. If you have a business, you might even be able to get a free printer, which is awesome. 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632. Call them from anywhere, or click on the banner at the top of the page at the Bob Davis podcast.com that asks the question that is more important than the question, what do women want?
Man.
Why pay more to print?
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're going to get into it. If you think we've been getting into it,
man,
we're going to get into it now. So
hey, Mom.
I was at the RV Entrepreneur Summit.
Oh,
met
boy.
A couple people, really great people. And I said, what do you do? Scott was like, well, I'm a real estate guy. And fiance. I said, you mean your Beyonce?
Oh, wow. That's a good one. Beyonce.
His name is Scott. I think it was Scott Johnson. And the only reason I know Taylor's last name is because I'm holding her book, the hashtag Van Life Murders, a novel by Taylor Cluster.
Oh.
Really nice people. And they've been on the road for 2 years, and she wrote this book. Here, take a look.
Cool.
I mean, you got to give it back to me, because it's a signed copy of this book. It's really, actually, I finished it, and I'm going to say, shout out to Taylor and Scott. It's a really good book. I really enjoyed it, but it comes up because just as she wrote this book,
this is unbelievable.
This crazy thing with these two young people in this, I'm sorry, but this Ford van, it's really tiny.
Dirty laundry.
And what?
Dude's last name is Laundry.
Oh, yeah. Laundry.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you're assuming that he's guilty. We don't know
damn
what happened.
Damn right I am.
But sorry. Everybody, I was up there.
Crap.
I was there. I was at Moab, and then I was at the Valley of the Gods, which is right in Monument Valley in Arizona. Oh, no. Maybe it's in Utah. I don't know. Doesn't matter. And then I saw those police cars with their orange and black. So I know that I was in that county. And if you've seen the video of this young woman, what's her name?
Gabby.
Yeah, Gabby. And the guy's name is Brian Laundrie, except it's spelled Laundrie. And it's really weird, because Taylor wrote this book, The Van Life Murders, the hashtag Van Life Murders. It's really about influencers and Instagram people and so forth, and the whole van life thing. But it's so weird, because I wonder what she's thinking right now. Because
do you have her contact info? Can you ask her, or do you not truly?
I didn't get an email. She inscribed the book, but she didn't put her email on there. So I'm just hoping they're listening to the podcast.
I listen to all your podcasts, and particularly the ones I'm on. No, just kidding. I mean, over and over. But and I heard that, and I'm just like, when this news story broke, I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. And then I'm texting with you like, Bob, I mean, this is really happening. This is unbelievable. She's like, van life murder stuff. You know, it'll never really happen. But I wrote a book, and then a week later, it's in the news happening.
Right. And
I don't believe this.
They're both very young. I can't believe anybody
22.
On the planet doesn't really know what is going on with this thing. But it's nobody knows what happened. They're traveling in this tiny van. People have been asking me. So I talked to a camp host today. I stayed up in the Apache National Forest at one really nice camp. I don't even know the name of them.
Okay.
See, this is the thing. People, where did you stay? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what state it was. You know,
yeah.
It's all a blur.
Not your deal. That's not your deal. No. You're not going to write stuff down. Some people would.
I do.
A little.
I mean, I make directions on which road to take, sure. But I mean, I know which roads I was on, but I don't know what it was. By the way, we're in the neighborhood, so you're hearing dogs and kids and everything else. But we were talking about it, and he goes, well, anybody ought to understand that if you're going to be traveling with another person, it's going to be hard, and you're going to have days where you're going to really hate them, and you're going to have to figure out how to, you know. He didn't say hate. He said it's going to get difficult. He's been married for years and years and years, and his wife and him have traveled. And I said, well, what are you traveling in? And he said, well, we've got a big, we got a 30, I think he said it was like a 32 foot, which is relatively short compared to what they're driving now these days, a Class A.
Yeah.
And I said, these guys were in a Ford four-cylinder little Metro van, which is really small, smaller than the ambulance. And I wouldn't necessarily travel with a woman. First of all, no woman would ever travel with me in that thing. There's no bathroom. You got to cook your meals outside. I mean, we're like Bonnie and Clyde.
Stuff started boiling over, and they're domestic assaulting each other. And the body cam police footage is on YouTube, and it's all over there. She was beautiful. And he's, 22-year-old alpha male.
I don't know if he's an alpha male.
Yeah, okay, here we go. What is he?
Well, I think a lot of young men in this generation, I'm talking about the 20s and all the way up to about 40, really struggle with masculinity. And alpha males, a lot of people think alpha males are these guys that ride motorcycles and have beards and biker types and everything else. And some of them are. But in fact, alpha males are actually very usually loners. They will act and they'll do, but they're not necessarily they're not necessarily out to prove their masculinity. They don't have to because they're alpha males, right?
Sure.
And so there's a lot of confusion about what alpha males are and how they act. I think a lot of these guys are beta males, and I think they are completely at a loss of what to do. They love somebody, and she's the boss, and it's. Then what happens is, this is my theory. My theory is that somehow she was beating on him. That's what happened when they got pulled over. And if he was really an alpha male, you wouldn't beat on him. I think what happened was he was trying to defend himself, and he hit her, knocked her down, and that was it. And then ran
and left and went home.
Yeah,
in her van.
That's my so personal bizarre. Opinion. But who knows? Yeah. Who knows what happened?
Because, I mean, if she's out in the wilderness, she would stumble on somewhere. Someone would find her. She would go to a door. We've been through this before. We know this drill, right? When people go missing and...
Well, we also talked about the fact that young... And you have teenage sons, sir. So you encounter this all the time. Young women today and young girls are super aggressive.
Yes.
And the boys don't know what to do or how to act around them. They don't know how to handle.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You put today's young people in a van together, you got a very aggressive woman, at some point a man is going to react, maybe right away to get control of the situation, or he's gonna recede, give up ground until it boils over. Now, I'm no psychiatrist, and it could be that they have some kind of a pact. That they had made a pact and she went ahead and he didn't. And, or maybe they have some other plan that they're going to disappear and become super famous. And, you don't know. You know what's crazy? And I'll just say this and I'll get your opinion on it right now. I think, and I've been talking about this in podcasts, I think people are, I don't think you can underestimate. I've said this several times and I'm going to say it again. I don't think you can underestimate the degree of damage that has been done in this country in the last 2 years with COVID and with all the things that have happened to the American psyche. I think people are, I was waiting for you at the Fry's today up here in Casa Grande. I'll have another please
Thank
with
you.
Carmen.
Please bring two. We're laughing like maniacs. The listeners are like weirdos.
And I was watching people come in, and I don't know how many men that I saw wearing shorts and gaming t-shirts and way out of shape, and I sat there and I thought, if this was actually a Walking Dead situation, all these people would be killed within 10 minutes. They would be dead. And then I thought, well, what about you, Bob Davis? Who do you think you are? You know, I would say I would run. I would run as fast as I could back to my metal truck and drive away.
The psyche of Americans right now in the last 2 years.
Bad.
We've been affected. It's a really good point.
And so I think you're seeing a lot of really weird behavior. And then you made a comment about Williston, because worked in Williston at the beginning of this whole oil thing. That's when you got out of radio and said, I got to get a job. I got a family to support. You started driving truck.
You and I were
telling me about Williston.
You and I were talking on the phone a little bit as I was driving in, just to kind of pre-produce, you know, what we're going to talk about here. And I used it as an example. It's like Williston exploded in the oil field. 2010, I got in at 2011. And you hear, you know, like 30,000 people were hired. We need guys. It was exploding. And you'd hear some very, very questionable behavior at the Williston Walmart parking lot. Guy on guy stuff. I'll just stop there. And I believe it. There's a lot of truth there. But I tell my people.
Because these guys were going nuts.
They just things. You know,
there was no women.
Drinking, you know, just drinking and stupidity and stuff. And one thing leads to another and weapons. And you hear stuff. And I tell my inner circle, I never saw any of it because I didn't go looking for it. I don't go to Williston Walmart, you know, 9:30 at night on a Friday. But no, you hear stuff. I'm out.
Well, then you said, and, you know, 5 years ago, there weren't that many people doing the van life thing. Now, suddenly, everyone wants to do it.
Right.
And so you're saying the numbers...
Odds are
the numbers of odds are going to start getting this weird.
Here
behavior.
We go. Here's the stories, and you know you sensationalize the bad stuff. All that's the sensational stories. You don't hear the happy, good. You just don't. And everyone's doing it now. Wow. And you're going to hear a lot of dirt stuff. It's just that makes headlines. You know.
Well, it does cause me to kind of look out. And it was one of the things that Taylor was saying, that she was glad she was, you know, traveling with somebody else, you know.
You've had a real nice streak. Let's keep it going. You know what I'm saying?
FYI, the book is not about this scenario. The book is about a different kind of scenario.
Van life murders, man.
Yeah.
Here we go. Hashtag van life. Oh, man.
Hashtag van life murders. And it's really about influencers. But I wonder, Taylor... You got
to
email me and let me know. Shout out to Taylor.
Yeah, let's go.
You need to email me and let me know what's going on, because you got to be freaking out. Because when we did the interview, we didn't even know this was going on with these two. What's her name? Gabby and Brian. Brian. Gabby Petito. That's her name. Petito.
He's from Florida.
They were engaged. They lived for a year at his parents' house.
That's right. Yeah.
And
this is so weird.
Somewhere along the line, it went badly south. I saw an interview with her cousins. They said, did you ever see her act like that? You know, when the body cam footage where she was distraught and talking about being OCD and blah, 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 blah. And they said, we've never seen her like that. No. Ever. You know, she's the kind of person that could live in the desert and be thrilled, happy. You know, she was, you know, did she like things clean or something? Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to remember the whole thing, but they said, no, that they'd never seen her act like that.
Other people were murdered out there too. They say that's not
what?
Really. There was.
Oh, wait! I got a story. I have a story.
Let's
for
go.
You. This is. So you remember the ghost story one that I did?
Yeah.
In Colorado.
Sure.
So that was at. I can't tell you where the campsite was because Bonnie, who was the camp host that told me all these ghost stories, said I don't want people to know who I am because I'm. You know, I'm a target, and people. People are weird about ghosts, and I don't want them to know, you know. And so they said, and there's actually another person on YouTube. I think her name is Christina or Christian. I don't remember which.
Sure.
She told this story about being in her tent. So they were backpacking. So they're hiking, doing the backpack thing on the Pacific Crest Trail, right?
Yeah.
And, so they get a it's getting late in the evening. They get a campsite. They put their tents up, and these are little tents. You know, these are pup tents because they're pack tents, right? These two women, and she said we were asleep, and I heard a voice say, "Help!"
Yeah.
And she was like, "I'm not going out there," and she was hoping that her friend wouldn't go out there.
Yeah.
Help!
Help!
And then she said, she didn't say anything, and he kept saying other things. This guy was out there. This, I mean, it was a person creepy. Outside the tent in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, creepy.
She said, I can't believe she did this. She opened the tent up. She went out and she goes, what is your problem, dude?
Right.
You know, and she had a knife. And he said he left. And in the morning, so they're talking about this, drinking their coffee. And her friend goes, what's that over there?
Yeah.
And she said this guy had just laid down in the middle of the forest and gone to sleep. And he was asleep. He didn't have a campsite. He just laid down and went to sleep.
Wow.
By their tents. They didn't see him until later. So, to make a long story short, Bonnie says, and then did you hear about this lady that came to this campground with her kids? They were in a tent somewhere, and they got a bad feeling, and they left. And about a week later, two women were killed up there. Two women were killed.
Yeah, creepy guy.
So there's some weird things going on out there, and there always have been. So be careful out there. Or as they used to say, what was the show, Hill Street Blues? Let's get them before they get us. That was the one.
Be careful out there. Right. The guy was real. I thought you were going to say it was a ghost.
No.
It was a real guy. Help me.
Yeah. And they
what
think
did he need?
They think they had never caught him, and they think he's the one that killed these other two because it was in the same area.
The two murdered women, they said the guy made them feel real creepy.
Weren't the one that were murdered, but this woman had her children with her, and so she was like, we're out. And they got a camper and then started going into the National Forest campground.
Van life stuff, you're going to hear these stories now, man.
Absolutely.
You're like, yeah. I'm just trying to help. We got a full moon cooking out there, man. We got a full moon.
Ooh, full moon. We do. And I got to tell you, the full moon is probably why the wind is kicking up. But very quickly in the news these days, you know, we're hearing lots of talk about manufacturing. If you're an inventor and you're trying to manufacture something in the United States, don't forget Depot Star, because they are American manufacturing, design, and engineering. Depot Star. Check them out online at depotstar.com. That's DEPOTSTAR.com. Shout out to Mark Korn, my inventor friend that invented this business. This is the manufacturer with the inventor's heart. Now, one of the great things that you can do to help me is to share the posts that you see on Facebook and on Instagram. That means a lot. I don't care about comments. You know how I feel about comments. Yeah. Don doesn't mind comments so much, but I do.
Yeah.
You know, social media, right? Also, get the Bob Davis podcast on Amazon now, as well as Google Play Music and Spotify, and also podmn.com, which is like Minnesota podcasts. And the only reason I mention it, aside from the fact they got all the competitors' podcasts on there, is that it sounds really good. They have a really good interface. So check them out. Stitcher, I don't think Stitcher's that great. Some people use it. I don't know why. A lot of Android users use it. Just use like Amazon or Spotify or something like that. And thanks for listening to the podcast right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. So podcast 1018 live from Casa Grande. I'll have a Casa Grande with... we've had three now. Should we do another one?
You have to. I don't want this to end. This is so fun. I don't want this to end, man. Have me back. Stay here. Move in.
Well, my house. Stacy might have something to say about that.
Oh, my God, will she?
Tall and she grew up right with them Indiana boys on an Indiana night. Well, she moved down here at the age of 18. She blew the boys away, it was more than they'd seen. I was introduced and we both started grooving. She said, I dig you, baby, but I got to keep moving.